booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. It is hump day, and there's nobody that you should be starting your hump day with instead of us. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hello, Frankie. How are you?
I'm well, Juliet. How are you doing?
Well, it's going to be a hot one today, as you just heard Deb say. We have a heat advisory from today at noon until tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. So just be aware of that. This is nothing to joke around about. I mean, I know Sid has made some funny comments about it, but in all seriousness, sometimes people just don't realize how bad the heat can get to them. So make sure that you've got lots of water out. In the meantime, let's take a look from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center at what it's going to be like over the next few days. I mean, I'm looking at my forecast and it's just lots of sun. Don't see much gray, which would mean clouds, and don't see much blue, which would mean rain. So I guess that's good news, especially if you want to go to the beach. We're going to get up to about 92 degrees today with lots of sun. The humidity isn't going to be as bad as it was yesterday and the days before, but it's still up there, although, again, it's not going to be horrible. Tonight, we're going to head down into the upper 60s, so it's not exactly going to be a chilly night. Tomorrow, we're looking at a high of about 91 with mostly sunny skies, and the humidity starts to creep up just a little bit. By Friday, just as we head into the weekend, we are going to see 90 degrees. We'll have a mix of clouds and sun with a chance of an isolated thunderstorm in the afternoon. And that will lead to scattered thunderstorms Friday night. As we head into Saturday, it's looking pretty... right now, it's looking like we're going to have some thunderstorms in the morning, and then it will clear up a little bit later on in the day, and we'll see some maybe clouds and sun mixed, followed by clouds a little bit later on. And then finally, on Sunday, we're looking at a pretty decent day, 79 degrees, mix of clouds and sun, lots of humidity. And currently the temperature right now in New York City is a balmy 76 degrees.
So in terms of, I know yesterday you were saying it was going to be pretty warm. In terms of how it will feel today versus yesterday, will it feel more uncomfortable outside or less uncomfortable?
I would say less uncomfortable because when you take away the humidity, or at least, you know, some of the humidity, it'll just make it a less painful experience. All but right. Still, I mean, 92 degrees is 92 degrees. It's kind of like, let's say you have 100 degrees here in New York City and 100 degrees out in Las Vegas. It's a different kind of feeling.
Right. It's 100 pounds of bricks versus 100 pounds of feathers.
There you go.
Right. I'm trying to gauge if today will be a cigar day or not.
I don't know. What is the... Well...
I don't know. I mean, you got to be comfortable sitting outside for...
Yeah, I don't think so.
No?
I don't
think
so.
507, let's get a look at traffic and transit on the 7th. Joe, are you a cigar smoker?
Depends. I'm not... I will. I mean, I'll smoke a cigar, but I'm not overly...
Well, don't do it for my benefit.
I mean, well, that's exactly what I usually do. You know, a bunch of guys standing around smoking a cigar, and I say, I guess I got to have one. But I'm not a big fan.
All right.
But,
well, I won't twist your arm.
No, I will. I'll have a cigar with you. Are you kidding?
Of course I will.
All
right. Well, how's the traffic looking this morning?
Westbound Belt Parkway closed to the Southern State Construction. That's at Merrick Boulevard. Now, on the eastern spur, northbound, all lanes are closed. That overnight maintenance, that continues. Transit Authority, we have a problem on the Q trains downtown. They're on the R tracks from Canal to DeKalb. Switch trouble on the N&R as well. So mass transit running with a little bit of an issue this morning. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be in effect. The supportive service of Allstate. Are you looking to save money this year? Look at Allstate. You can take the protection you need at the low rates you want. With Allstate, you get lower rates, not lower your expectations. Visit Allstate.com. Call an agent for a quote today. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nolan. Let's head over to Afghanistan now. Despite pleads from G7 leaders to stay in Kabul to make sure that everyone who needs to be evacuated is, President Joe Biden on Tuesday shut that idea down. It comes as the Taliban, a group of, obviously, as we know, radical, violent tribal men, essentially threatened the U.S. The last I checked, we were a superpower. I don't know. But if They threatened us, basically, if U.S. forces don't leave by that August 31st deadline that former President Trump agreed to. Meantime, CIA Director Bill Burns reportedly held secret talks with the group, apparently not so secret anymore, in a bid to make them understand that the U.S. wants to get our people and those that helped our people out safely. American officials reportedly told the insurgents that the withdrawal deadline is contingent on the Taliban's cooperation in helping facilitate the evacuations. I thought that was, you know, always the agreement. And we know that that's not the case anymore, at least on the Taliban side. Not surprisingly, the president's approval rating is crashing by the day. He's now at, well, it depends on which poll you're looking at, but one poll has him at a dismal 41%, and he is certainly tanking in others. By and large, the biggest issue with voters from both sides of the aisle is how he is handling the Afghanistan withdrawal, with 62% disapproving.
So speaking of Afghanistan and the withdrawal from Afghanistan, as of now, President Biden is not extending Tuesday's deadline due to the risk of a terrorist attack in the Taliban-controlled country, but he ordered a backup plan just in case evacuation flights aren't done in time. So far, more than 70,000 Americans and Afghans have been flown out, with nearly 22,000 just yesterday.
As President Biden deals with the Afghanistan debacle, Vice President Kamala Harris is getting skewered by the critics as she travels overseas. Harris was supposed to leave Singapore for Hanoi, but the exit was delayed. Did you hear this? Because of reports. Remember we had talked with Mark Polymeropoulos, who is a former CIA intelligence officer, and he is also a guy who has gone through this Havana syndrome. And in fact, that was just a few days ago. We actually have a clip from him. But before I get into that, her exit was delayed because of reports that some in her entourage, potentially, or some in the area where she was heading, fell victim to this so-called Havana syndrome, a mysterious condition that causes headaches and brain issues. It's almost like a sonic pulse, people describe it as. The U.S. Embassy in Hanoi issued a statement saying the decision was made for the vice president to continue her trip after careful assessment. Hundreds of U.S. diplomatic workers have been afflicted with the syndrome, including, as I said, our recent newsmaker guest, former CIA senior intelligence officer Mark Polymeropoulos. This is what he had to say.
But in fact, you know, the most perilous case was on December 5th, 2017, when I was in Moscow and I woke up in the middle of the night to an incredible case of vertigo, to splitting, blinding headaches that last to this day. And I was subject to, you know, to one of these what we think are directed energy attacks. It caused me to actually retire, which is pretty remarkable. After all those times and all these war zones, I'm at a 5-star hotel in Moscow, and this is what finally gets me. But it's a really kind of tragic story of a healthcare journey that I'm feeling better now. But boy, it took a long time for me to get the care that I need.
Yeah, that's crazy. He's not the only one. I mean, there have been hundreds of U.S. diplomats and some of their, I guess, their colleagues and others who have gone through this. And it's a concern because it's not only happening overseas, but it's also happening on our own soil. There have been several cases reported here in the D.C. area. So we'll keep an eye on that for you.
People in Oregon are being told to mask up again. Governor Kate Brown ordered an outdoor mask mandate to start Friday, regardless of vaccination status. She says the surging COVID Delta variant has thrown the state into a new level of crisis. Cases are at a record high, with more than 1,000 patients in hospitals. Brown says masks are a quick and simple tool to protect everyone and stop the spread of the coronavirus. Do you think this is an image of New York's future, Juliet?
Well, I mean, I certainly do if we're talking about the schools, because Kathy Hochul did not waste any time making bold moves moments after she was sworn in as governor of New York, the 57th and the first female, mind you. The governor announced new vaccine and mask mandates for schools across the state. She says she made the decision after months of consulting with school officials, teachers, and parents. So, look, I hope not, because honestly, it seems as though with this Pfizer vaccine now being approved, given full approval by the FDA, there has been a little bit of movement on that from some people who have been resistant. I mean, let's see how that pans out over the next few days or few weeks. I think that we're starting to see people take this a little bit more seriously now that they know that people are starting to die. Hospitals are starting to fill up. So, I mean, let's hope so.
It looks like migrants are not, or excuse me, it looks like migrants are staying put in Mexico while waiting to find out if they'll be granted asylum. President Biden ended the policy of the former administration, but the Supreme Court reinstated it last night. The justices suggested he didn't properly explain why he chose to stop the policy. They're giving him 1 week to bring it back. The Department of Homeland Security says it regrets the decision, but will comply in good faith.
It is the end of an era. One of the original bad boys of rock and roll has passed away. Charlie Watts was the London-born drummer, of course, for the Rolling Stones. He joined the band back in 1963 after meeting Mick Jagger and Keith Richards and Brian Jones at an R&B club. Watts was actually a true jazz fan, and he always joked about how the Stones were his day job, but really he was a jazz guy at heart. He was on every single one of the band's studio albums, along with Jagger and Richards. The group announced earlier this summer that Watts would be sitting the first portion of their tour out because of a recent emergency surgery. Apparently, things were a lot more serious than we thought, or at least they got more serious as the weeks went on. Watts never left the hospital. His publicist said Tuesday that he passed away peacefully in London at the hospital there, surrounded by his family. That is just, my jaw dropped when I saw that news come over yesterday.
Yeah, you never really picture someone like Charlie Watts ever being an 80-year-old. You just picture him eternally young.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, looking at some of the recent tours, I mean, he certainly was looking up there. But, I mean, look at what a trooper. I mean, he was just playing to the last last second.
It's true. All right.
Really is the end of an era.
5:15, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
All right, here we go with the Peerless Boiler Sports Report. We're going to start things off in Queens today, where Brandon Belt hit two of San Francisco's four home runs to push his career best total to 19. Rookie Sammy Long pitched into the sixth inning, and the Giants trounced the slumping Mets 8-0. After using late-game homers to steal consecutive victories from Oakland on Saturday and Sunday, San Francisco powered up early at Citi Field. Lamonte Wade Jr. and Mike Yastrzemski also connected in the first four innings as the Giants jumped to a 7-0 advantage against rookie Tyler McGill. The lone concern for the Giants, seven-time All-Star catcher Buster Posey, was removed with left knee discomfort in the fifth. Down in Hotlanta, Wandy Peralta retired Freddie Freeman with the bases loaded for the final out, and the Yankees held off the Atlanta Braves 5-4 in a thriller to extend their longest winning streak in 36 years to 11 games. DJ LeMahieu's two-run homer in the fifth inning gave New York the lead. Giancarlo Stanton and Rogan Odor also went deep for the Yankees. The Yankees remained four games behind first-place Tampa Bay in the AL East. The 11-game winning streak is New York's longest since August 31st, September 10th of 1985. That was a couple years before I was born, huh? Now, this report is brought to you by Peerless Boilers. They do make America's best boilers. You can check them out at peerlessboilers.com. With sports at 15 and 45, Matt Sapienza, WABC Sports. Back to you,
Matt,
guys.
Matt, you're going to learn something on this show.
Yes.
Sweetie.
Yes.
You never talk about how you were born in like the late 80s or 90s.
Or any year.
Okay, will do. Noted. Noted.
We'll be discussing this after the show.
There'll be a meeting after the show.
5:17. Joe Nolan, do you have any complaints about Matt Sapienza's performance so far?
Horrible what you just did there.
Yep.
No, '85. Stop it.
He said before. That was before he was born. What year were you born? Just to make me roll over in my grave already. Not you. No, Matt. Oh, yeah.
I was born in 1998.
Oh. Wow.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I'm 22. I turned 23 in October.
God. Oh, my God. I can't.
All right, I'm going home.
1998. That was the first year that I started working at Fox News. I was chasing hurricanes, and you were like chasing, your cereal bowl.
My cereal bowl at the time. My binky.
Oh, you know, all right, come on. Time for the traffic.
Exactly. Thank you.
This is just horrible. Absolutely horrible. You're a mean person.
Sorry.
Belt Parkway westbound, we're slow from Merrick Boulevard to the Southern State. Actually, it's close between the Southern State and Merrick Boulevard. And again, that for construction, that continues. Inbound on the Gowanus PQE. We're slow. Industry City on up to the Prospect. Crash, that's in the right lane. Industry City area, we've got problems also as well. Looks like there might be an accident on the outbound side. Eastern Spur, the Turnpike closed, the overnight maintenance. Same thing on the drive, construction in the 70s. Two lanes are out. And we still have subway problems. The southbound queue is on the R Canal to DeKalb. That would switch trouble and alternate side in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, sir. That was very funny. What year were you born, Joe? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. 1958.
Yeah, I was born in 1969. I mean, I guess you probably would have yelled at me back in the day. We don't talk about Frank's age. We just don't do that.
We don't know how old he is, do we?
No, I know how old he is, but I will be screamed and yelled at if I say it on the air. So
discretion.
I've learned my lesson.
Discretion is the better part of valor.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we have a ton of breaking news in the cruising world. If you guys are planning on going on a cruise, and I do love cruising, if you're planning on going on a short one, a long one, whatever your plan is, you've got to listen to this report coming up at 5:40. And also coming up in the Biz Buzz, Frank is talking about the ever fascinating world and realm of infrastructure. But we do need to talk about that because we're spending a lot of money on that as taxpayers. And that's all coming up after this.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
5:20, the opening bell rings this morning after Wall Street wrapped up yesterday slightly higher, with the S&P 500 and NASDAQ notching record closes. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial gained 30, the S&P 500 added 6, and the NASDAQ climbed 77 points. President Biden is cheering the House for passing a procedural vote that paves the way for his infrastructure agenda to become law. Speaking at the White House, Biden said this is a historic investment that will lift the standard of living for everyone. Biden specifically thanked House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and her Democratic leadership team for masterfully bringing people together. He called out the group of 9 moderate Democrats who wanted to vote on the bipartisan infrastructure agreement right away. The president said differences and strong points of view are, quote, always welcome. And durable goods orders for July come out this morning, and experts are forecasting a decline. Analysts expect a 0.2% drop in orders for big-ticket items built to last 3 years or longer. That would follow an 0.8% rise in June. The July numbers are due at 8:30 this morning. Juliet.
Thank you. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo lost his job, his reputation, and now his Emmy. The 2020 award was given to him for his pandemic press conference performances, but the folks behind the award, the International Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, pulled the honor on Tuesday thanks to his sexual harassment allegations, validated, of course, in the New York Attorney General's report. So here's the deal. I don't think he's going to have to actually return the statue itself. I mean, I guess he could still display it if he wants to, but his name will be removed from the organization's records and any materials going forward. One of the allegations, by the way, that was listed in that report by Tish James, the attorney general, occurred during one of these televised press briefings. Cuomo, of course, has vehemently denied the allegations, or at least he's attempted to reframe them as just a generational misunderstanding. So, goodbye, Emmy.
All right. More students are returning to school, but not all classrooms have a teacher. Nearly every state is reporting a staffing shortage as the new school year begins. The National Education Association says 30% of its members have left sooner than expected because of the pandemic. Different incentives are being considered throughout the country to find educators, including bonuses, service scholarships, and loan forgiveness.
Speaking of the pandemic, apparently people with with the Delta variant have a viral load 300 times higher than the original COVID-19 strain. And that means that they are twice as infectious. I guess that's why they're twice as infectious, according to a study. The study was actually done in Korea. I'm guessing it's South Korea. And it found that people infected with this Delta variant have these high loads when they first experience symptoms of the virus, you know, and then the loads start to wane over the next 9 days. But that's why they're considered so contagious. And again, researchers say the variant is twice as contagious as the original virus strain. Delta is now the dominant variant across the world and is responsible, singularly responsible for case surges across the world as well.
More kids are being diagnosed with the most prevalent form of diabetes. A new study shows a 95% increase in those ages 10 to 19 getting type 2 diabetes. That's nearly double since the beginning of the 21st century. Researchers found significant rises among boys and girls across racial and ethnic groups. The biggest increases, though, were among blacks and Hispanics.
Well, if you happen to be somebody who is on dialysis, anything like that, anything, any sort of issues with your body, you are being warned about something when it comes to travel. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on in your Jet Set Juliet travel update. But in the meantime, as you know, Pfizer received full approval for its COVID-19 vaccine from the FDA on Monday. Back in July, the director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, warned that the coronavirus could mutate and potentially evade vaccines soon. And that is definitely a big concern. Pfizer's CEO was on Fox yesterday, and he says that he believes that it is likely that a strain of COVID could emerge that is resistant to vaccines, which is obviously very, very concerning. But he claims that at least his company, Pfizer, and probably many other companies he suggested, would be able to develop a new shot to tackle a vaccine-resistant strain within about 95 days. Still, that's, you know, more than 3 months that people would be dealing with this super strain that could be very dangerous or very deadly. Hence, please get the vaccine.
Rare photos of the late basketball legend Kobe Bryant are being sold. Cryptograph turned them into non-fungible tokens. The company says NFTs can eternalize and immortalize. The images hit the auction block yesterday on what's known as Kobe Bryant Day due to the date matching the numbers he wore with the Lakers. Bidding ends tomorrow, with proceeds going to the Mamba and Mambacita Sports Foundation.
Rudy Giuliani associate Igor Fruman is expected to plead guilty today in Manhattan federal court. Fruman and his colleague Lev Parnas pleaded not guilty back in October of 2019. They were charged with funneling foreign money into U.S. campaign coffers. Prosecutors filed additional charges against the duo that following September that was likely meant to push them to cooperate. But again, they pleaded not guilty. So it's not really clear at this point whether Fruman's guilty plea includes a cooperation agreement, but observers say this could put the spotlight back on Rudy Giuliani, who, of course, is our colleague here at 77 WABC.
So also yeah, our colleague.
Comments on that.
527 Traffic and Transit with Joe Nolan. What do you have to say for yourself, Joe?
Well, again, as you begin to travel inbound now at the Lincoln Tunnel, we've got ourselves a bit of a problem. There's a crash. Apparently, two lanes are out as you come off of Route 3 on the viaduct heading inbound of the tunnel. So you've got an issue out there. Apparently, the HOV lane is one of those lanes that may be blocked. And again, we're just getting word on this, so we'll have more in just a couple of seconds. Inbound on the Gowanus of the Prospect, there's an accident. That continues. Also on the Belt Parkway westbound, that road work out there. They should begin to pick that up pretty soon. At least, let's hope they do. If you're inbound at the Holland Tunnel and up at the George Washington Bridge in good shape, at least so far. Mass Transit looks good. An alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. And this report is the service of Indeed.com. Take the shortcut to your next great hire when you sponsor a job on Indeed. Instant Match immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7 Stock Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. Breaking news in the cruise world. This is some big stuff. Also, breaking news out of Hawaii. If you're planning on flying to Hawaii for vacation, you probably want to hold off when you hear this. That is coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40. But first, let's head over to the news desk for Deb's headlines. Hi, Deb.
Morning, Julia. Well, top executives from leading technology companies will meet with President Biden at the White House today as the Biden administration discusses cybersecurity in the wake of ransomware attacks. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court says the Biden administration likely violated federal law in trying to end a program called Remain in Mexico. It forces people to wait in Mexico while seeking asylum to the United States. New York State making vaccinations mandatory for schools when doors open this fall, or the policy is undergo weekly testing. The announcement yesterday from New York's new governor, Kathy Hochul.
We need to require vaccinations for all school personnel with an option to test out weekly, at least for now.
She made her comments following her public and private swearing-in ceremonies following the resignation of former Governor Cuomo. Five-alarm fire this morning in Jersey City, New Jersey. Firefighters called in about 3 a.m. as fire tore through a home on Irving Street, spreading to a neighboring structure. A firefighter has been taken to a hospital with a hand injury. Former New York Governor Cuomo's Emmy being taken away. He won it, of course, for his daily televised briefings on COVID-19 in 2020. But now, the Academy of TV Arts and Sciences says Cuomo is being stripped of that Emmy due to the state attorney general's report finding he sexually harassed 11 women. And that's your 77-second WABC News update. Juliet will have your forecast from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. Right now, 72 clear skies in Manhattan. I'm Deborah Valentine.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a good day. I'm Juliet Huddy. This is the Early News along with Frank Morano. Hello, Mr. Frank.
How are you doing, Juliet?
I am lovely, just lovely.
You certainly are.
I'm very excited about this very moment because this very moment means it is on this day time.
Oh boy.
On this day, Wednesday, August 25th, 1609, Galileo demonstrates his first telescope to Venetian lawmakers.
On this day in 1875, Captain Matthew Webb of Great Britain became the first person to swim the English Channel with no assistance.
On this day, 1515, so we're going way back, conquistador Diego Velazquez de Cuellar founds Havana in modern-day Cuba on the southern coast of the island. It was moved to its current location in 1519, just 4 years later.
On this day in 1921, the United States signs a peace treaty with Germany.
Well, on this day in 1718, hundreds of French colonists arrive in Louisiana. And guess what was founded? New Orleans.
Wow.
Party time.
On this day in 1950, President Harry S. Truman ordered the Army to take command of the nation's railroad service due to an imminent railroad strike.
Well, on this day in 1894, the Japanese scientist Shibasaburo Kitasato discovers the infectious agent of the bubonic plague, and he publishes those findings in The Lancet.
On this day in 1986, Paul Simon released his Graceland album.
Oh. Well, on this day in 1944, General Charles de Gaulle walks the Champs-Élysées in Paris after the liberation of the city from Nazi occupation.
On this day in 1986, then Oakland A's third baseman Mark McGwire hit his first major league home run.
Didn't he get busted, though, for steroids?
Yeah, it's one of the things that has still kept him out of the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
But there's nobody that really thinks he was on steroids back then.
Really?
Not in 1986, no. If you look at his picture in 1986, he looks like
a little kid.
Yeah, he looks like this scrawny little guy. But if you look at him in like 1998, forget about it. He looks like a bodybuilder.
Hmm. Well, on this day, August 25th, 1990, the UN Security Council authorized military action against Iraq.
And on this day in 1994, singer Billy Joel and model Christie Brinkley had their marriage dissolved.
Well, oh, that was a sad one. On this day in 1814, British forces destroy the Library of Congress containing 3,000 books. This was during the War of 1812.
On this day in 2001, singer and actress Aaliyah was killed in a plane crash in the Bahamas at the age of only 22.
And her name is coming back into the fold, well, recently, because she was allegedly married as an underage girl to R. Kelly. Yeah. That's it for me.
I'll just mention on this day in 2009, Senator Ted Kennedy died at the age of 77.
Oh, well, I have one more. On this day in 1910, Yellow Cab is founded. That's a big one.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. And that is on this day. If you have any on this days you'd like to, we don't have any time for you. But I love these on this days. And if you have anything, actually, if you have any on this days that you think might be kind of funny for us to include, you could also, I mean, you could message us on Twitter, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just do it ahead of time.
Yeah. Like for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Send us a message today.
Exactly.
Right. Well, teachers across New York State could be forced to take a test, that is, if they don't want to get the coronavirus vaccine. It was part of Governor Kathy Hochul's address, which came hours after being sworn in. She says the number one priority is getting kids back to class amidst the coronavirus pandemic, calling for new mask mandates in school and requiring teachers to get the vaccine with a test out option. Her intentions came as Mayor de Blasio defended that all staff at city schools must get vaccinated with no option to be tested.
All right. I love these sleep stories. I mean, anybody who's listening to this right now, you either are very tired or you're because you haven't slept yet, or you're very tired because you just got up, right? So there is this doctor, Karan Raj, and he has revealed the habits that we have in our lives, essentially, that give us less energy, but we think that they're actually giving us more energy. This doctor is from London. He's part of the National Health Service, and he explains that there are three big mistakes that people make that make us actually more tired. Number one, he says, we should not be drinking coffee until midday. He says that our bodies naturally produce the stress hormone cortisol between 8 and 9 a.m. to keep us alert. And when we drink coffee too soon after waking up, the stimulants and caffeine won't have the desired effect. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. I mean, I guess the interesting thing for me is trying to translate what midday means when you wake up at 3 p.m. and
exactly.
go to bed at 8 a.m.
Well, I'm guessing, I mean, I have to read a little bit more of the study, but I'm guessing he's probably talking 6 a.m. wake-up call, maybe 7 a.m. wake-up call. So let me do a little investigating. But it sounds like maybe 2 or 3 hours after you wake up, that's when the natural stimulants kick in. He also says, I never do this. I don't understand how people do this, but he says, never snooze your alarm. He says, delaying getting out of bed by pressing the snooze button enters your body back into the sleep cycle, which causes it to release hormones, which aid sleep.
Can I tell you, I do this all the time, and I always get screwed with this. I every time I've overslept, it has been because of this snooze.
Well, do you see why now?
Yes.
The other thing is, he says, I don't agree with this. I just do not agree with this. He says, avoid checking your phone first thing, because he says, as we wake up, our brains gradually go from what's called delta to theta to alpha brain wave activity. This means your brain is becoming more alert gradually. But if you interrupt the cycle by using your phone, it'll skip straight through to the alpha phase and you'll become alert too quickly, which I don't think that's problematic. That's the whole point. When I look at my phone in the morning, usually there's some catastrophe or drama going on.
That's true.
Right. So it's like, oh, that immediately. So when I used to take the train to work, I would make a habit of looking at social media on the things like Facebook, like on the Morano haters, and because it would get me so pissed that it would wake me up.
Yes.
That was the only reason that I would look at those things.
Right now, there's a fervent debate over the merits of the On This Day segment on there.
Please.
But I hear you that. But there's no research necessarily to back up what you're saying.
No.
Okay. Well, Joe Nolan has researched the traffic, the highways and byways to get you to work. How's it looking so far, Joe?
Well, we got a bunch of things out here you need to know about. First of all, coming inbound at the Lincoln Tunnel up on the Viaduct, there's an accident there right on the Bergen Viaduct coming inbound. Two lanes are out of service, so that's going to start to cause delays heading inbound the Lincoln Tunnel back on the Jersey Turnpike. Speaking of which, northbound Eastern Spur, that overnight road work has that shut down. Inbound on the Gowanus BQE, we're slow already. 65th Street all the way up to the Prospect, an accident in the right lane, and there's construction on the drive southbound in the 70s. Downtown Q and R trains between Canal and DeKalb Street, they are running on the R, that because of switch trouble, and alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. Very quickly, if you're a if you would like to debate this, but actually debate it like an adult, please follow me on Twitter at JetsetJuliet, and we can do a little poll. But let's act like adults here, not little hateful children. Please. Frank, what's going on in business?
Well, the opening bell rings this morning after Wall Street wrapped up yesterday slightly higher, with the S&P 500 and NASDAQ notching record closes. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial gained 30, the S&P 500 added 6, and the NASDAQ climbed 77 points. Well, a new report shows most Americans prefer to work from home. The survey conducted by background check platform Good Hire asked 3,500 people ages 21 through 59 about their working preferences. It found that 68% of respondents said they would rather work from home, and 45% would be willing to quit or look for a remote job if they were forced to come back into the office. The survey also found that 70% of workers would be willing to give up benefits in order to keep working from home. Some even said they would be willing to take up to a 50% pay cut to continue working from home.
Is that it?
Well, you know.
Oh, okay. Because usually you say
Juliet. Yeah. Well, I'm on the fence about whether I should mention this or leave it you in the Jet Set Juliet travel report. So I think you may mention this in Jet Set Juliet travel. So let me mention this instead. The founder and CEO of OnlyFans is explaining why pornographic content will be banned from the adult subscription service. Tim Stokely told the Financial Times the company had no choice. He added banks like J.P. Morgan weren't treating OnlyFans fairly. The accusations come as the company will block users from posting any sexually explicit content beginning in October. Content creators will still be able to post nude photos and videos if they are consistent with OnlyFans policy. Juliet?
Thank you very much, my dear Frank. All right, we have a lot of breaking news in the cruising world in this Jet Set Juliet segment. So before we get to it, let me just get this out of the way quick. COVID numbers, well, all over the world are skyrocketing, but in Hawaii also. So the governor there has decided to ask, and right now it's just an ask, it's not a demand. He's decided to ask locals and people thinking about vacationing in Hawaii to simply hold off. Reuters is reporting that he's also expected to clamp down on restaurant capacity and even access to rental cars in the coming days or weeks. So really, he's kind of not giving you much of a choice, I don't think. On the bright side, he only expects this to carry through till the end of October. And look, I mean, it's almost the end of August. Kids are going back to school. So this isn't the nightmare that it would have been had he done this earlier in the season. We're also hearing that Hawaii may require travelers to go through mandatory testing, even if you are vaccinated. They may require proof of vaccination at public places and maybe even implement curfews. So I would definitely suggest, if I were you guys and you're thinking about planning a trip to Hawaii or you have one, in light of these revelations, I would suggest either holding off on visiting or just reroute yourself to a different destination, because I have a feeling it's going to get worse before it gets better in terms and rules and regulations. All right, to cruising now. If you're booked or you were planning to visit the U.S. Virgin Islands on a cruise, you better be vaccinated. The governor there announced this week that all passengers 12 and older would need to be vaccinated before a ship is able to dock at one of their ports. This is exactly what I told you yesterday the Bahamas is now doing with regard to cruise ships. So basically, cruising right now, it's a bit complicated. If you are going to take one, you really need to be on top of things as far as changes, because they happen very quickly these days because of COVID. For instance, Carnival, which also owns Holland America and Princess, they just announced that passengers who need oxygen or dialysis cannot sail with them. They don't have the equipment right now. And that's not all. Carnival, Holland, and Princess passengers must now wear masks inside unless you're dining. And if you refuse, you'll be kicked off the ship at the next port.
Boy.
With no refund. This is vaccinated or not vaccinated. Plus, you're going to have to pay for any and all expenses incurred as a result of getting booted off the ship. So this is a big deal. It's probably going to change a lot of people's minds. If you find yourself in any of these groups, you do have a couple of options, and they're good options. So I do applaud Carnival, Holland, and Princess for this. Number one, you can get a full refund. Number two, you can get a future travel credit worth 110% of the original payment, which I love. That's fantastic. And three, you can rebook for next year at the same time on the same itinerary at the same price. So one of those three you can do right now. Okay, the CDC and Department of State, State Department, are asking Americans to avoid traveling to six new international locations as of Monday morning. I mentioned a couple earlier this week, but let's go through them right now. Bahamas, St. Martin, and Kosovo. Guessing not a lot of you are planning on going to Kosovo, but you never know. You're asked not to travel to these locations because of, obviously, the COVID rates rising. Additionally, and I'm guessing not a lot of people are traveling to Haiti right now, but the State Department does not want you going there, not because of COVID. Actually, their numbers are going down there, but because of the humanitarian crisis due to the aftermath of extreme weather events like the earthquake, you know, hurricanes, stuff like that.
And the occasional presidential assassination.
Well, that doesn't help either. Also, Lebanon is dealing with a nightmare as hospitals are at a breaking point, compounded by a financial and economic meltdown. So skip your trip to Lebanon for now. And finally, I'm dying to visit, but not right now. Morocco is off the State Department list of places to go thanks to an ongoing conflict with Algeria. And there's been some sort of movement at the border, so might be best to skip that right now. Finally, some happy news to end on. There's a new cruise line from the coolest guy on the planet, besides Frank Morano and my husband, Richard Branson. It's Virgin Voyages. And true to form, the cruise line has done something really great. They've decided to pull Key West from their itineraries. Now, hold on for just a second, because I love Key West. The reason that they're doing this is because the locals there on the island don't want ships carrying more than 1,300 passengers. So they actually voted to ban those big ships. But Governor Ron DeSantis said, sorry, guys, too bad. And he overturned that vote with his own bill. Still, Virgin Voyages heard about this and they said, look, we're not there to ruffle feathers. We want to do good things around the world. So they've traded Key West for Nassau in the Bahamas instead, citing their commitment to respecting the communities that they visit. I love this. Virgin Cruises is really the rebel of cruise lines. They don't do buffets. They don't allow kids. They have onboard tattoo parlors. You can even order champagne from anywhere on the ship by simply shaking your phone. So it's just wild. I'm going to tell you more about this sexy modern line on tomorrow's Jet Set Juliet.
All right. Crossing Lebanon, Haiti, and Kosovo right off of my list.
I've actually really wanted to visit Kosovo. I think it would be very cool.
Yeah,
there's some really nice places there.
I would rather hear your report from Kosovo rather than visit myself. All right, here with sports, here's Matt Sapienza.
All right, Frank, time now for your Peerless Boiler Sports Report. We're going to start off in Queens, where Brandon Belt hit two of San Francisco's four home runs to push his career best total to 19. Rookie Sammy Long pitched into the sixth inning, and the Giants trounced the slumping Mets 8-0. After using late-game homers to steal consecutive victories from Oakland on Saturday and Sunday, San Francisco powered up early at Citi Field. Lamonte Wade Jr. and Mike Yastrzemski also connected in the first four innings as the Giants jumped to a 7-0 advantage against rookie Tyler McGill. The lone concern for the Giants, seven-time All-Star catcher Buster Posey, was removed with left knee discomfort in the fifth. Down in Hotlanta, Wandy Peralta retired Freddie Freedman with the bases loaded for the final out, and the Yankees held off the Atlanta Braves 5-4 in a thriller to extend their longest winning streak in 36 years to 11 games. DJ LeMahieu's two-run homer in the fifth inning gave New York the lead. Giancarlo Stanton and Rougned Odor also went deep for the Yankees. The Yankees remain four games behind first place to Tampa Bay in the AL East. Their 11-game winning streak is New York's longest since 1985. This report's brought to you by Peerless Boilers. They do make America's best boilers. You can check them out at peerlessboilers.com. With sports at 15 and 45, I'm Matt Sapienza, WABC News. Back to you guys.
547, let's get a look at traffic transit on the 7s. Joe, I have to begin my trek back to Staten Island in 14 minutes. How's it looking?
Shouldn't be anything out of the ordinary, really. To tell you the truth, it should be pretty good, actually. Really, at this point, no real major difficulties at all. The earlier problem that we had on the Gowanus coming up to the Prospect has now been cleared. Same thing at the Lincoln Tunnel now, heading inbound. That earlier accident up on the viaduct is now out of the way. The FDR Drive southbound in the 70s, that overnight road work also has been picked up. So that's good news. If you're down there in Franklin Township in Somerset County and down around the Millstone River, again in Franklin and also in Hillsboro and then also in Montgomery, you've got to remember that all of those causeways and all those roads that run along the Millstone River, they are all still closed. So just keep that in the back of your mind if that's where you are. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations, once again today, are going to be in effect. And this report is a service of the Business Roundtable. Another pothole, traffic and flight delays, aging public transportation. Congress is close to making historic investments in America's infrastructure. It's up to the House to finish the job. Pass the Infrastructure Investment and Job Act, paid for by the Business Roundtable. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you very much. He may be rock royalty, but at least one Italian Duke is not a fan of Sting. I'll tell you about that. And move over, pumpkin spice. Starbucks debuts a crispy new fall flavor.
I love my husband, but I'm so angry he chooses alcohol over us. I'm glad I tried Al-Anon. Do you worry about someone's drinking? Al-Anon can help. Call 866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
I don't know why my husband drinks every day. Is someone's drinking breaking your heart? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group from people just like you.
Formative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. Time now is 5:49. All right, Frank Morano.
All right.
Pumpkin spice, schmumpkin spice. Starbucks has their fall menu back, including their beloved pumpkin spice latte, which I do think is delicious. It is in U.S. and Canadian stores. This is the earliest return for the pumpkin spice latte ever, which for over a decade did not debut until September. But, you know, every year kind of gets a little bit closer to the summer.
Can I ask the question? If people like this so much, why don't they keep it on the menu all year round?
I don't know. I love eggnog. Why don't they have eggnog frozen yogurt all the time? I love this stuff.
You can't do the pumpkin spice. It doesn't make sense.
Even
if you look at the way it's dressed, it's fall leaves. It's pumpkins.
You don't have to dress it like that. You put a pumpkin on it.
Nah, I like it the way
with
it.
A little little sunglasses too, and a beach blanket.
Nah, I don't like it. I love that coffee. I go to Starbucks. I buy it. So I'm actually a consumer who likes that flavor. I like it just the way it is.
Let me guess. You're also the guy that would just bah humbug me because I put my Christmas tree up and I decorated on Thanksgiving.
No, Thanksgiving through New Year's is fine.
That's fine.
But when my buddy Tommy lives down the block in Boca Raton and Santa's on his lawn in March, I want to punch him in the face.
I'm with you on that.
We actually do it before Thanksgiving because we like to have when everybody's over at Thanksgiving.
How long before?
A few days.
That's fine.
Just like the weekend before so that we can get it all up.
I think it's Black Friday on. That's when it's acceptable for
Black Friday.
These sort of arbitrary days made up by company bosses is just ridiculous. I mean, the fact is you do it when you feel it, man.
Julia.
But really quick, I just have to say there's one more new addition to this fall menu. It's the Apple Crisp Macchiato flavored with apple, brown sugar, cinnamon, and nutmeg. Twitter users are calling it divine and tasty.
And I am calling it divisive.
Calling it expensive.
Before we get a preview of the Bernie and Sid show with Sid Rosenberg, let me just bring this to your attention, Juliet, because you're a rock aficionado and a music aficionado in general. The naked baby on the front of Nirvana's iconic 1991 album, Nevermind, you're familiar with it, right?
Yes, of course.
He's now all grown up.
Oh, my God.
And he is suing the band 30 years later. Spencer Eldon claims that neither he nor his guardians consented to the use of his photograph. He's taking it one step further by saying the image amounts to child pornography.
Interesting.
Eldon says the band promised to cover his private parts with a sticker, but they never did. So he's suing the remaining members of Nirvana and Kurt Cobain's estate for at least $150,000 apiece.
Oh, give me a break. And, you know, I see a picture of this guy. Looks like a cool dude. He's holding the album cover. So he wants to be the guy that goes down in history as the little brat who decides he's going to be all mad about it. I mean, how did he get the picture in the first place?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess that'll come out in discovery. But maybe this should send a lesson to future musicians that you shouldn't send you shouldn't use photos of naked children without their permission or without the parents' permission.
Right.
I think that's a good philosophy.
I don't think Kurt Cobain is upset about it today, do you?
Well, but his estate will be $150,000 more upset than they are.
He claims he was forced to engage in commercial sex acts.
What?
Well, no. I mean, it's because he's naked. That's why.
I could have sworn I heard Brian Williams on MSNBC say that he was a baby on the cover of that.
But again, I think we should all agree that you should not use a naked photograph of a child for commercial purposes without that child's parents' permission.
But I'd like to mention, back in 2016, when he was 25 years old, he recreated the cover fully clothed to pay homage to the hit record. He said to the photographer, let's do it naked, but the photographer thought it was weird, so he wore his swim shorts. So this is bull. This is absolute bull.
All right. Judge Juliet siding with Nirvana.
Absolutely.
All right. Sid Rosenberg, what is coming up on the Bernie and Sid show today?
Well, it's, what is today? Wednesday. So your friend Lauren is coming by today. I missed that epic birthday party last night. Did anybody go? Any of you guys?
Three people went from the station, and geez. I heard quite an earful about not making it.
Oh, boy. But, all right. Well, she'll be on today. She's on every Wednesday now. And then my buddy Ron Duguay is going to stop by.
Oh, Ron!
You know, I did this. I watched this Netflix special on Studio 54 on Sunday. I talked an awful lot about it on the show with Bernie on Monday. And Dugues was a regular at studio.
Oh, yeah.
He used to piss off. The Rangers had a head coach named Herb Brooks. Yes, it was the same Herb Brooks that coached our Olympic team to the gold medal in 1980. Herb came and ended up coaching the Rangers, and he couldn't stand Duguay because Duguay was at Studio 54 every night. He's doing Sassoon commercials. He's like, take that energy and put it on the ice. And eventually he traded Ron Duguay to Detroit, broke Ron Duguay's heart. So we got that story. And then, of course, Rod Gilbert, the all-time Ranger great. He died a couple of days ago. And they come in three. So now we've lost Don Everly, Roger Bear, and Charlie Watts all already this week.
That's right.
That's a big week. Right.
Yeah, this has been a very, very big week. I mean, this is the end of an era kind of week.
It is. And the Stones, of course, are touring this. And the first person I thought of for you here, Frank, is our mutual dear friend Arthur Idala, who has followed that band all over the world.
Germany.
Everywhere. And he does that ridiculous-looking white man's old dance.
My God, Steve. Talk about Steve Lacy from Fox 5, who I used to work with, he's obsessed with the Rolling Stones, and he is the greatest Mick Jagger imitator ever.
Oh, well, Artie doesn't really do a Mick Jagger imitation. He just does that, you know, that kind of geeky looking, I love the band, here comes Start Me Up, and here I go. So, I used to watch Chris Russo dance at Bruce Springsteen concerts, and as Bernie would say about Curtis Lee with the Christmas party, he must have missed the polio vaccine.
Curtis is a great dancer.
What?
Oh, my God.
He is a good dancer.
I hear he is one step away.
He's an amazing dancer. He really is. Yeah, really good dancer.
Well, I'll take a step with Bernie. Bernie claims otherwise.
Bernie has no idea what he's talking about. Curtis is a very good dancer.
Well, have you ever seen Bernie dance?
No, I have not.
Okay.
People said they saw him dancing at that concert he was supposedly at on Saturday.
See what he did?
Really quick, he may be rock royalty, but at least one Italian Duke is not a fan of Sting. The Police frontman gave an interview to an Italian magazine about the time when he and his wife, Trudy Styler, bought an 18th century estate over there in Italy, along with its vineyard. He claims the thing that sealed the deal was a delightful glass of Chianti offered to them by the estate's owner, the son of Duke Simone Vincenzo Velluti Zatti C. San Clemente. The problem is Sting says the wine actually, he found out, came from a different estate, not the vineyard, not the one, you know, that he purchased. The Duke's son says the rocker has besmirched his dad's memory and the entire estate itself. And then he really threw shade. He said Sting's renovation of the iconic property turned it into something more out of a Palm Beach than a Tuscan villa, complete with a gym in what was the chapel and a huge Las Vegas style pool.
And I would also like to thank the good folks over at Peerless Boilers for making Sid Rosenberg available to us for the Bernie and Sid show preview as well. They make America's best built boilers and tankless water healers.
The boilers.
They do.
The best boilers.
Indeed.